This message was presented at the GYC 2017 conference, Arise, in Phoenix, Arizona. For other resources like this, visit us online at www.gycweb.org.
Good morning. My name is Pastor Doug Venn, and welcome to the 21st Century Challenges and God's Plan for the Cities.
Amen.
And right now, I'd like to start early as a bonus session because we have 2 years' worth of material to go through in only a few moments. So with that, let's bow our heads and pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this gift of time that we have to come and reflect on your ultimate plan here at the end of time, to go to the cities, the essential work at this time. And so forgive us as a faith family for neglecting and being allergic to city work. And so during this time, I just ask that your Holy Spirit guide us so that way we can see your plan and your call for the cities. This is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
I serve as at the General Conference with the Global Mission Urban Center, and from that platform, I then coordinate one of our initiatives for the General Conference called Mission to the Cities. And with Mission to the Cities, it's a chance where we are following Christ's way of working the cities, as it says in Ministry of Healing, that on page 143, that we are to come close and work with the people on a personal level, and that what is needed for this time is a new view of God's and His grace and love. And so from that platform, we then follow Christ's method alone of mingling with the people, sympathizing, of ministering to needs, of winning confidence, and then inviting people to come follow me, come follow Christ, and in that discipleship process. From our global mission platform, we are most interested in working together with every ministry, every department of the Adventist family in a way that will then ultimately result in starting new groups of believers. So we follow Christ's plan of ministering to needs, but then we are always thinking about kingdom expansion. And that kingdom expansion is just like what happened in the New Testament when new groups of believers were popped up where? In the cities. Okay, so this is where right now, today, during this workshop, you're going to hear from the streets of North America. And so I'm so honored to have some of my friends we're going to hear from the team from Northern New England first, then we're going to hear from the Northern New England Conference, then we're going to hear from the Pennsylvania Conference, their Urban Center of Influence, and then we're going to hear from Upper Columbia Conference. But before right now, at GYC's request, before we get started into that seminar, I wanted to introduce you to a dear friend, and her name is Teen Nielsen, and she is coming from the Office of Volunteer Services, or Adventist Volunteer Services. And Teen, I just wanted to introduce you to her. If you would like to connect with any of these ministries, or maybe there's other ministries that you would like to find out on what are the opportunities for service, and you can come to our booth and talk to Teen and sign up there at AdventistVolunteerServices.org, and that way you can find those direct calls that are available now. Or if you are like the team in Northern New England Conference or Pennsylvania Conference or Upper Columbia Conference, maybe you're coming from that perspective and you need volunteers, you need professionals, you need urban missionaries. You can also talk to Teen about having a call to make that need known and that platform. And so that's where Teen is a dear friend, and you'll love to get to know her. So stop by the booth or stop by the website, AdventistVolunteers.org. So
yes.
Thank you, Teen.
Yes.
I gave you a short handout that's my time is up. And so my propaganda is on the handout, so you can get that. So we're going to invite Northern England to come forward. How we're going to divide this seminar up is that at each of the three ministries, urban mission settings, have a unique contribution that's different, but it's part of the beautiful plan that Christ has outlined for us in the spirit of prophecy. And so from that, I want you to be thinking a 360-degree view here, because each one has a beautiful part of that, and that's why I've invited them to come and share today. So Pastor Ted Huskins is the Executive Secretary of the Northern New England Conference. Tony, and then where is... here we go. And here is Natalie. And so we're going to hear from them. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Vin. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Pastor Vin introduced me as the Executive Secretary of the Northern New England Conference, and that's true. But I am not from Northern New England. I am a missionary to Northern New England. I'm originally from Western North Carolina. I've been in Northern New England a little over 4 years now. And my wife and I came literally to be missionaries. We live in a little town called Kennebunkport, Maine. Maybe you've heard of Kennebunkport. It is the summer residence of George and Barbara Bush. In the little town that I live in, there are five churches. One is now a condominium. One is a museum. One is an art gallery. This one that you see on the screen, Aquaholics, is a surf and wakeboard shop. That's just down the street from my house. So four of the five churches in my little town are no longer churches. The fifth one is a church. It's a small Baptist church. That's the five churches that are in my town. And that's not unique to Northern New England, because we are the most post-Christian, post-modern segment of the entire United States. We are the domestic mission field. Just to give you a picture of what that looks like, George Barna's organization did research on it. And there, the dots you see on the screen are the 10 most post-Christian cities in America. Number one on the list is Portland, Auburn, Greater Portland, Maine. Number one on the list. 57% of people self-identify as post-Christian. Number two on the list is Boston, Manchester, New Hampshire. That's also in my conference. 56% of people self-identify as post-Christian. Number five on the list is Burlington, Vermont. 53% post-Christian. Those are the three major population centers in the Northern New England Conference, and we're all within the top five. Almost all of the dots you see on that map are in the Northeast, New York, and New England. Only Seattle, Washington, and San Francisco, California make the top 10.
Wow.
We are the gates of hell in Northern New England.
Wow.
We are the gates of hell. And what exactly is a post-Christian? A post-Christian is someone who hasn't gone to church in 6 months, except for a wedding or a funeral. A post-Christian is someone who doesn't read the Bible. A post-Christian is someone who's not sure they believe in God or not. They either self-identify as atheist or agnostic. A post-Christian is someone who probably doesn't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. A post-Christian is someone who doesn't believe in the virgin birth. And they are my neighbors. They are Tony's neighbors. They are Natalia's neighbors. We meet them every day, and they are far from God. And we have a passion to reach these people.
Amen.
Unfortunately, most of us as Seventh-day Adventist Christians have a Judeo-Christian biblical worldview. And we come into all of our relationships with a Judeo-Christian worldview. And then on top of that, we add a layer of what I call Adventist culture. We have our own food. We have our own clothing. We have our own language. And we take all of this in, and we start the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we eat, and we start talking, and their faces glaze over because they think we have just dropped in from Mars. And so because of that, our churches are in northern New England, which are, for the most part, small churches, rural churches. They don't understand how to talk the language and how to relate to people with purple hair and 500 piercings and tattoos and that come from just a totally different worldview. Not only are they post-Christian, but they're postmodern. And I'm not going to get into that. If you want to know what postmodern is, come to my booth and talk to me about it. It's a totally different worldview. It's not bad. It's just different. And we have to learn how to speak the language and talk to these people. And the only way that we're going to be successful in doing it is through centers of influence and planting churches that will understand and reach these people. And so we are looking for church planters who will come in almost as if with the mindset, I'm going to a foreign country. I'm going to learn the culture. I'm going to understand the people. And I'm going to mingle with them, and I'm going to seek their good. I'm going to be friends with them, whether they become a Seventh-day Adventist Christian or not. If it takes years, I'm going to be their friend, and I'm going to love them, and I'm going to model Christ to them. And that's what we're looking for. So we are forming centers of influence. We are planting churches. Our first center of influence started about 6 years ago, and Tony Kafori is with us. He is the executive director of that Center of Influence. And Tony is going to talk to you a little bit about what we've done and what it looks like.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. God's very good. Can I have the clicker, though? Gotcha. Praise the Lord. So, first of all, I have to tell you, I'm really excited to be here, and I can tell you reaching the streets is really working because I'm new to the SDA. Amen. In fact, 6 years ago, I never even heard of the SDA. I had no clue what that was, you know. It was a prophecy seminar, and I'm very grateful that I can share that God is definitely working. So one thing I wanted to mention to start off with is, what is the purpose of a center of influence? Really think about this, because it's actually modeled after the gospel from Jesus Christ. Amen. The purpose of a center of influence ministry is to meet people where they're at. Does that sound familiar when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? How did Jesus approach people? Where they were at that moment. Today, he met them where they're at. And it's just really neat to think about that before he even introduced spiritualism, or not spiritualism, but as far as, you know, the gospel, he healed people how? Physically. Amen. Before spiritually. Amen. And that's the purpose of a center of influence, is we are to mingle with people, reach out to people where they're at, to build those relationships. That way we can introduce them to their Creator who loves them. Praise the Lord. So again, the purpose of a center of influence is to meet people where they're at. And you know what? 6 years ago, people met me where I was at. I'm not going to tell you those stories, but praise the Lord, we had some patient people. So some of the cool things that we do at the center of influence, we're modeled after the Beehive. A lot of people have heard of that. We're a vegan cafe during the lunch hours. And just so you know, I'm going to put a little plug out there. You can see the website, lewisandark.com. We are looking for a professional chef. So if you know of somebody that has some experience, please come see our booth, as Ted had mentioned. But some of the health classes, really neat. Again, the beautiful thing about the center of influence is when you go to them, they're never the same. Every community is different. So it's very important that we study the community, what their needs are, and meet those needs. For example, growing up in Maine, I like to fish. I don't eat the fish, but I like to fish. And, you know, Lyme disease is huge in Maine from tick bites. So we have a Lyme support group. That's a very powerful focus group that we have. We have health consultations, how to reverse diseases naturally instead of pushing pills. I could be here all day explaining all the different types of courses that we have. We have Bible studies. But praise the Lord, I just want to share that God is definitely, definitely working. So the results of this center of influence that started about 6 years ago is in the last year, God is moving so much that we have planted a church at the center of influence.
Amen.
I can tell you from the area that we are in, as Ted had mentioned, it's very secular. There's a lot of people that are uncomfortable, that feel unworthy of sitting in a booth at church.
Amen.
But they feel comfortable in a safe environment with people who just love them.
Amen.
And I tell you, it's a treasure when you get to work with these people. And again, I used to be one of those people, so praise the Lord. But we've planted a church, and before Ted comes back up here, one point, I don't want you to miss this. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit right now is tremendous. I can tell you, I've been there for about 3 years now. And God's always been present. But the last 5 months, I can tell you, I've seen things happen. Like, God is moving. Books are flying off our shelves when they would normally just kind of sit in the corner. Maybe every now and then somebody would take one. Bible studies. People are coming in while they're eating, asking for Bible studies. This has never happened until about 5 months ago. And a lot of you guys are familiar with the Johnson Amendment. God's holding the winds back because it's being threatened for church and state, but he's waiting for us to be ready. Well, I'm going to have Ted come up here and preach the rest of that.
So we are really, really excited about what God's doing. The Ark and the Olive Branch Cafe has been a tremendous success. Tony is a unicorn. He is so rare to find someone who has come out of a secular environment and is a fully devoted disciple believer of Jesus Christ. And there are so many young people in northern New England that are just looking for answers. They're interested in spirituality, but they're not interested in the way we traditionally package church. And so we're approaching them in different ways. We're starting with our centers of influence. We're starting with home-based church plants, where we're taking and entering the culture that people have. And so we're looking for people who are not afraid to get messy.
Amen.
Who's not afraid to get messy? Because wherever the Holy Spirit is poured out, it's a little messy.
Yes, it is.
And whenever you're dealing with unchurched, post-Christian, post-modern people who are far from God, it's a little bit messy. And if you're willing to be friends with that type of person and come to God, it will be life-changing.
Amen.
Not just for them, but for you. Part of our research in doing this, we went to the Netherlands. Western Europe is the only place on the planet more post-Christian than Northern New England. So we went to the Netherlands, talked with Pastor Rudy there. They've been doing church planting in Western Europe for 20 years, trying to reach a post-Christian, post-modern world. And Rudy told me that the church amongst indigenous Danes would be dead had they not done church planting 20 years ago. It would be dead. There would be immigrant Adventists who would still be there, but the church amongst indigenous people would be dead. And that's what we're up against in northern New England. I went to some of those church plants and I interviewed the planters about what's working, what's not working, what recommendations they had for us. And I went to this one church home group on a Wednesday night. They met on a Wednesday night. There were 20 young adults in a circle. And part of what they do every week is they tell their story of the week.
That's right.
They tell their story. And for mine and my wife's benefit, they went around the circle and they told their life story in about 5 minutes apiece. And person after person said, I was an atheist. I was agnostic. I was raised in a non-Christian home. I didn't know God. One lady said, I was raised in the Catholic Church. I was abused by a Catholic priest. And I vowed that I would never set foot in a church again. My father abused me. I vowed that I would never step foot in a church again. She said, my neighbor kept bugging me until I finally came to this group.
Amen.
And they sang a song, and the song was called "He's a Good, Good Father." And she said, "I wept because all my life I've been needing and looking for a good, good father who would love me." And she said, "I've never left. I've never left." And person after person shared their story. And Cindy and I got back into our car, and we sat there and we cried. And we said, "God, there are so many of those people in northern New England. They're far from you. They don't know what they're missing. They don't know. They don't even know they need you. But God, we need you." And so today, we need you. If you want to make a difference with your life that will impact the population of heaven for eternity, come to northern New England. Come to Spokane, Washington. Come to Pennsylvania. And you make a difference with your life. You will never regret it, I promise you.
Sorry about that. Wasn't that stirring? Thank you, Northern New England team, for sharing how God is working there. All right. We'll now go to Pennsylvania. And we're honored to have Andrew Carroll here from the team. And we're going to hear on how God has been working at their urban center of influence called Simplicity.
All right. Any moment now. Is it doing something? Do-do-do. Oh. There's a button for that. Okay. Just one moment. We did not practice this part. Continue. Well, my name is Andrew. I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm living in Allentown, Pennsylvania right now. And let's see, is this do we need to switch to VGA input on the slide projector? I work with a ministry called Simplicity Outreach. We are a center of influence, like you've heard about before. We're working in the city of Allentown, and I'm glad to be here to tell you about the model of ministry that we're using. And I'm so excited because this is my first time to meet some of my kindred spirits here. I've heard so much about you guys. We're friends with a lot of the same people, but we've never crossed paths. So hit the presentation button. So today I'm going to be talking about the Ephesus model. It is the model of ministry that we've developed, the theoretical side of things that we are then implementing with our ministry called Simplicity Outreach. So I just want to go through this really quickly. There's so much, and I'll give you some more information on how you can get the whole package and learn more about this. The Ephesus model is a corporate model of God's plan for urban ministry, and it's derived from four sources: from the Bible, the work of Jesus, the ministry of Paul, the spirit of prophecy, and the history of the Adventist Church. So when the cities are worked as God would have them, the result will be the setting in operation of a mighty movement such as we have not yet witnessed. And we can go through all these points and see that this is something that will happen. It's definite. It's just, are we going to be a part of it? Are we going to choose to be a part of it ourselves and capitalize on the Holy Spirit? So the Haskell's New York work is an example. Brother Haskell, the Lord has given you an opening in New York City, and your mission work there is to be an example of what mission work in other cities should be. So you can read more about it. You can go on the website and find more information. And it's a great example to read about this committed couple who wanted to bring the gospel to New York City. So they did a comprehensive and well-articulated city campaign. They did house-to-house work, Bible studies, evangelism, health services. They had a restaurant, hydropathic treatment rooms, lectures, so on and so forth. So God works by means of instruments or second causes. He uses the gospel ministry, medical missionary work, and publications. And those things are highlighted down there. Gospel ministry, medical missionary work, and our publications. These are God's agency. One is not to supersede the other. So as a church, we need to be working together to bring all three of these things into concert so that we're not competing for funding. We're not competing for visual identity, but the canvassing needs to be just as important as the restaurants and the publishing and our gospel tracts and our Bible studies. They all need to be equally emphasized. So there's some history. You can look into the history of the church and see where we have been. The church at one time was such well-versed in city ministry, and we've largely forgotten that. We've lost that steam. So please, I urge you, look into the history to discover what has been lost. This presentation is available on our website. We'll say that. But the important quote from this slide is that in every city, there should be a city mission that will be a training school for workers. So we've already talked about urban centers of influence. Now, this is kind of cutting edge because we took a look at it and we said, it's not just centers of influence, but we need to actually train people so that they can know how to set up a center of influence. So the people who need to be trained in order to train other people, this is how new it is. This is how much we've forgotten.
Amen.
So at the heart of the city or the population center, there is the mission center, the training center. So in every city, there should be a core of organized, well-disciplined workers. Not merely one or two, but scores should be set to work.
Amen.
So in a city population of 50,000 or more, that leaves the United States with about 758. So scores 20, scores a minimum of 40. So you can start to see just how important this is and how many people need to be devoted to this mission work. So to have every 40 workers in each of those 758, so 30,000 plus organized, well-disciplined workers.
Amen.
But in the world, there's over 10,000 plus, 100,000 plus population centers, and all those little black dots represent those places where there's that much population that we need to be going to these places to preach about Jesus.
Amen.
So looking within this model of ministry, there are five basic structures. You have your advanced placement team, a.k.a. Aquila and Priscilla, if you can read about them in Acts 18. There's a leadership team. There's recruitment, training, equipping the local disciples and mentoring the people in the church, establishing that training or mission school, and then finally a church plant. So there's a definite process to this. This is not we're just taking a stab in the dark and going out there and saying, oh, I think I'll open a vegan restaurant. You know, God wants us to have a definite plan of action.
Amen.
It's how we do things. The world does things in a very organized fashion. You look at a business model of any kind, and in order to succeed, people know that they need to have a plan. And so God is just as equally organized. He invented organization, so why shouldn't we be organized too?
Amen.
So Paul did this. He had his own place of mission where people could learn to be the hands of Christ. I'm just going to skip around. So that quote again, in every city there should be a city mission that would be a training school for workers. So we have our mission center. From there, we have our spring up the urban centers of influence. So this will be your community centers, your home churches, your food stores, your restaurants, your schools, etc. From there, we have our church plants where people can learn to be the body of Christ. So there's the church plant, how that fits into there. Now, eventually, that church plant turns into an urban church, an established place, and we can create more church plants. So this is how it multiplies. So when we read in the book of Acts and how at first we see that the church was added to, and then later we read that the church was multiplied. And so this is how it happened. People naturally created relationships, because what we're doing here is we're creating an ecosystem of ministry, of multiple contact points. So it's not just that people go to church once a week, but they go to a restaurant and, oh, you guys are Adventists and you love Jesus. Oh, well, I'm going over here to the community center and then I want to help other people. And there's a point there. So all these different contact points. So that Sabbath is just the icing on the cake. And then you can come to church and ready to tell people, wow, I can't believe how God moved in this person's life and my heart is touched. And there's just so many stories I can share. So to get a broad picture, so let's say that this puzzle is a city and its surrounding area. So the green parts would be what's going on inside the city. The blue parts would be the rural areas or what's going on maybe in your country churches. So that's why everything is green here. This is what's going on inside the city. So then outside of the city, we have our wellness centers, the places where you go to relax, rejuvenate, and heal. Your rural churches, our schools, and our outpost centers, so things like sanitariums, publishing houses, and schools. So we can start to see how everything that Mrs. White wrote about in this model of ministry fits together. It's a comprehensive plan that God wants to put in our minds so that we know there's something definite we need to do here. This is just a general list of how everything fits into that category. So we have inside the city, we have our restaurants, we have an urban training school, a community center, urban churches, our church plants, food stores, and you get an idea. This is comprehensive. So to see a practical application of this, I want to take you to the ministry that I'm involved with called Simplicity Outreach. And the name simply comes from when Paul talks about the simplicity of Christ. And it's kind of cool because you have city in there. And it works out really well. Praise God. So we've had 13 young adult missionaries come through our doors from other programs, from other experiences, some of them pastors, some of them just Bible workers. But through it all, we started working with our local church. We didn't have a permanent location that people could come to, and that was really our goal. So, but we started out just surveying the community, finding out what people needed. We wanted to actually see what people wanted, not that we would push something on them, but find out what people in your communities need so that you can be a help to them. Oh, well, I need child care for my children, and it's just so busy working, and how can you relieve somebody's stress? Because when you relieve somebody's stress, you're helping them to heal.
Yes.
We worked with another local Christian community center. We didn't have a place of our own, so we found a place that was already operating, and we helped them out for a little bit. There's a food bank that they have. We helped with the homeless ministry, serving food to them, helping them move in. And we finally were able to get a place of our own where we could be a permanent place, a permanent fixture in the city, to tell people about Jesus. So some of our programming there includes our kids' church. We have a monthly, at one time we did it every week, but you really have to plan. And because we were running short on staff, we decided to go once a month. So you choose what you can do. To make an impact on your community. A vacation Bible school program. We've done so many things. There's just a list of all these things that we've done. And they've all been successful. It's just whether we've decided to continue them and to have the proper staffing. There's basically anything that you want to do, it can be successful. It's just how willing are you to continue that, to make it go forward, to see how long it lasts. We did some gardening. There's a little gardening plot down the street from our community center that we got involved with. We went around to people's homes and planted flowers. Homework help, helping the children in the community with their homework. One year we had a children's choir. Kids' Christmas program. Actually, we just had this, and there were 30-plus kids. We got a company from the local community to sponsor, and they've been doing it for the last couple of years, but they were able to sponsor us and actually do like a kind of like an angel tree type of thing where the employees bought gifts, and then they all brought them to our center, and the kids received Christmas gifts that maybe may not have had a Merry Christmas. But all through this, probably one of our pinnacle of our center of influence was that we were able, from that experience with the children, we were able to open up Simplicity Christian Academy. And I'm the bus driver, so it operates very much like a mission school would overseas. The children get to come for free. They get a free Christian education. And It's sponsored by generous donations from people, so a word on that a little bit later. But it's great because I get to work with the kids. I see them every day and tell them, you know, we get to talk about issues and things that they're going through. For adults and families, we have a free day program where we get to give out bread donations, clothing donations. We've had health programs in the past, youth groups. ESL is a big one because it's largely a Puerto Rican and Dominican population group. An exercise class. And then obviously our church programs, our Bible study, Sabbath mornings. Of course, Bible studies. And it's always wonderful to study with the children when they're interested. And then, of course, baptisms that have come out. Ivan here, he came in because he was volunteering with us. A group had come in and he saw that, oh, well, I like volunteering with you guys. You guys are a church? Well, I want to get baptized. So we started to study with him. It was easy as that. He came to us. We hardly had to do anything. But it was worth it because now he's coming faithfully and learning how to be an influence in his community. So the why part of this, the mystery of God, Paul talks about it in Ephesians 3, 8 through 11. Although I am less and least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which from ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what does that mean? The manifold wisdom of God is his character. It's his love. What does God want to do? God wants to use the church to show the universe, not just other people, but the universe, his character of love by uniting us in Christ. So the world, the universe, is waiting to see, is God really love? Is he going to live up to his claim? Is he going to settle the great controversy? How is he going to do that? He's going to do that through the collective body of the church. And this is why urban ministry, city ministry, and the Ephesus model is so important, because we get to see how God accomplishes that. So God personally wants to use you. He wants to use your local youth group, your local young adults, your church, the people that you have influence over, and he wants you to communicate God's love to them. So I want to give you guys a little information about how you can find out more about what we're doing. So please go to Adventist City Ministries. This is our sister ministry, and you'll find a Bible study guide there. You'll find this most of this presentation that I gave today there, and you can learn more about the history. There's audio presentations there. We've had a conference in the past. I believe we're going to have a conference coming up 2019. Probably first quarter sometime. We're going to get together. We're going to share the Ephesus model in further detail, come together to pray. It's going to be wonderful. Amen. Now, one last thing. If you would like to learn more information about how you can get involved, please come see me. Come see Doug. Specifically at Simplicity, we are looking for people who are self-supporting, people who are self-motivated, who want to get involved with this ministry in a very personal way, and also specifically bilingual couples. Couples are just like Aquila and Priscilla, just like the Haskells. We're looking for couples because we get to see what a relationship within God's family looks like. So please come see us, and I encourage you, guys. God wants to do an amazing thing in your life. He wants you to discover who Jesus is, what he means to you, so that you can have a personal testimony and share with the world who Jesus is, and then the mystery of God will be complete. Amen. So thank you so much for your time.
And Andrew, before you go, can you read, what is that website?
AdventistCityMinistries.com.
Okay, very good. And I'm really excited about the resources and the partnership with Pennsylvania Conference and this Urban Center of Influence. I had a chance to meet with the executive committee just a couple months ago of Pennsylvania Conference, and their vision as a conference is to train 20,000 young adults to meet the needs of their urban areas. And so this right now is an awesome direction, and if you would like to join this vision, talk to Andrew or Pastor Gary Gibbs, who will be here at our booth or on Sabbath, anyway, to connect with what God is doing to reach the cities of Pennsylvania.
Amen.
All right.
All right, we'd like to invite our next team up. How many of you have been inspired? All right, praise God. You can see I'm coming out of my seat as well. It's thrilling. I want you to see, come while you're setting up your team here, I want you to see that each team has we saw in this last presentation the Ephesus model, and there's actually going to be a book that team in Allentown, two brothers who are dentists, Dr. Jeff and Robert McCullough, they wrote a book, and it's just now coming to press. The first 100 copies should be here at GYC, so see Andrew at the booth, and you can get a copy of that to see how this plan that is outlined in Scripture is our plan as Adventist movement here. Amen. For working in the cities in a holistic way. But this is another team here who I've personally worked with in the past, and I'm so glad that they can share, and we'll give the time to you.
Hi. We are Total Health Spokane, and we are working for 2 years in Spokane as... Thank you. We are working with Total Health Spokane for 2 years, basically as catalysts with the local church to make that connection with the community doing medical ministry. In today's world, trying to evangelize only intellectually doesn't work, and that's not the counsel that we've been given. But too often, that's what we see as evangelism. We must find ways to connect with people in a personal and significant way, but not just the physical. We must find ways to bridge the spiritual, too. Too often we see one or the other, and it's sad to see lopsided work so often. So we're trying prayerfully to bring the two together according to the counsel that we've been given. We are seeking to follow the methods outlined in Spirit of Prophecy, like we saw earlier mentioned by Andrew. Company evangelism, the team evangelism concept to specifically work in the cities, doing medical missionary work. And again, the idea is to find ways to connect with people personally, individually, coming close to the people and leading them to Christ. So we're all familiar with the term Christ method alone that brings true success. What does that actually look like? So we're told in medical ministry that medical missionary work is the pioneer work of the gospel. She says, remember that the restoration of the body prepares the way for the restoration of the soul. So they are connected. What we are doing, we have soon, we will have a clinic located inside our church. Dr. John Torquato will be running that clinic, and Pastor Wayne Cablano here is the pastor of the church. So we have a pastor-physician team, which is what Spirit of Prophecy counsels us to do. The two should be connected. So it's a blessing to work with a pastor-physician team who are both committed to the combined work. So when a patient comes in to our clinic with a lifestyle condition, we'll have a team of medical ministers. A lot of us are here today, our medical ministers there on site. And then we have available to the patients essentially an in-home sanitarium. So we go into their homes. We're already working on a lower scale before the clinic has opened. So we've been doing some of this already. Going into their homes, teaching them how to cook, helping them get on an exercise program, helping them learn how to have a healthy lifestyle. Sometimes people aren't sure how exactly to do it, or maybe they know how to do it, but they need someone to come alongside them, walk through it with them as they're making those habit changes. So we also bring church members with us so that we're building a lasting connection with the local church, because we're only here for 2 years, and we want it to be a lasting effect. We want the church members themselves to be connecting with the people that we're working with so that they're making connections with the people that they're going to be joining. Along with the daily contact, we have other programs that we conduct along with the church. We have cooking classes, dinner with the doctor, health programs, and then, of course, the spiritual. You know, we have Sabbath school classes oriented to the people that we're working with as well. But we're trying to keep it sustainable so that it's sustainable over a long term. We're still learning where that balance is. Other methods that we're using are going door to door, doing surveys. We're going to be doing some colporter work as well, and some occasional larger events like health expos to help bring the community into awareness of what we're doing. So the thing is, one of the key things is our medical ministers are, we each realize that our work is not successful unless we ourselves have a personal connection with Jesus. Amen. If we see this work as, you know, if we follow these methods, it's going to work. Without that actual connection with Christ in ourselves, that's not going to work. The whole purpose of medical ministry is connecting people with Jesus. And so we emphasize in our team regularly, daily, we must have that personal connection with Jesus ourselves. Otherwise, there's nothing to connect people to. We're broken in our connection with Christ, and we can't. So we hold each other accountable to keeping that connection with Jesus strong. And it's a work that is sacrificial. We're volunteering our time for 2 years. We have to fundraise just as if we were going overseas. And the Lord has blessed in my fundraising. The Lord has provided two donations and pledges that mine is covered. I'm praising the Lord for that. So it's possible. And I'd like Camelin to share a little story about one of the glimpses of how this is actually working. We've already had a few baptisms through. We've only been on the ground in Spokane for 4 months, and so the baptisms that have happened have been more of a gleaning of some of the work that the church, local church, has been doing already, but it's been through the same methods. So Camlin's going to share a little bit about some she's working with.
Okay, so I've been working with Mary, and I'm in her house almost daily. Her blood sugars, when I first started working with her, were up in the 400s, and you're supposed to have, like, in the 90s. And so we were working through. We brought them down to, like, 200s, but we were still not getting there. And then she went on this diet. Or fast, but her blood sugar still weren't going anywhere. And so I sat down with her about 3 weeks ago, and I was like, okay, how are you doing mentally? And she's like, well, I'm feeling sick, so my brain's a little groggy. I was like, okay, how are you doing physically? Sick, but overall okay. So I went down, like, everything, and then I went, how are you doing spiritually? And she's like, well, and then we went off on this whole discussion about the struggle she was having. Before, she was very connected with God, but she had struggled. And so I was like, okay, how can I help you? She's like, actually, just talking with you has helped. And so we continued working with her. And just this last week, her blood sugars were in the 90s. And yes, And she knows that it's only through God's power that she's doing this. It's not what the doctor has told her or me going to her house. It is her connection. She's gained her power from God. And we asked her right before getting up here if we could use her name. And she said, yes, if you can get people to come and because she feels so loved by me going in, feeling God's love. That she's like, you can get more people to do what you're doing, use me. So that's the story.
Good morning. My name is Eric Kelly. I'm also a member of the team, and I was asked to share about needs. To give a little bit of a background behind that, I'll just share a little bit of my story. I'm someone that really likes to know what the spirit of prophecy says and the Bible says and try to apply that because I feel like that's the most success that we're going to get. So when I was studying in the seminary, I came across a lot of statements and a lot of counsel on medical missionary work, so much so that I actually went into healthcare and became a nurse practitioner. And now I'm really blessed because in this program, we have a lot of open doors. Amen. And we've got a church that is fully on board. We have a pastor who is passionate about medical evangelism. We have a physician that is like a pastor in a physician's clothes. And now there are some challenges because this is kind of frontier work, and I kind of resonated with what Andrew said, that it's kind of like it's like Josiah finding the book of the law in the temple. You discover, you're like, wow, there's all these things that we had no idea we were supposed to be doing. And that's kind of what it's like. It's a resurrected work.
Amen.
So some of our needs, well, one thing that I'll share really quick that's kind of similar to Andrew's story is that sometimes people will be volunteering with us, and that will actually lead them to want to be a part of us. We had someone who was attending an evangelistic series. And kind of what kept her with us is our personal ministry to her. She has not gotten baptized because she's weighing through a decision right now between two different churches. But in our minds, we believe that she has been so blessed by the giving nature that we have invited her to join us in ministry, to do the very same things that we were doing for her. Of course, more along health lines rather than doctrinal because she's not ready for that. But this work has a lot of potential to be able to bring people on board just by volunteering as well. Some of our needs, of course, I encourage you to check out all these different ministries if you are feeling the call to ministry. I've been blessed by hearing what each of them have had to say. Some of our needs are... while we encourage anyone to join us, we could always use more workers. Some of the specific needs that we have are for people who have had prior experience in this type of ministry. People that have been able to do cooking schools, have been able to lead anxiety or depression recovery programs. People that can bring a certain skill set with them. That can help us in those areas. We also have need of canvassers. We have need of people that can do Bible work. So if you at all resonate with that, we invite you to come talk with us, myself, Dr. Torquato, Pastor Cablano, or any of the other team members. And with that said, I'll turn it over to Dr. Torquato.
I suppose if I was to say what our greatest needs are right now, I would say that our greatest need really is a culture of giving sacrifice,
Amen.
Willingness to love people without return.
Amen.
Without the opportunity to get something in return, people look at you and they ask the question, why? And it is the why that is really the strength, the power of the work that is being done. We have to go at it right now as an experiment because, well, It's not part of the culture where we're from, necessarily, to do the work that we're doing. And it would be so many naysayers, potentially, that would hold us back if it was an established work. So we can say, for 2 years, we're doing this and moving forward. One of the ladies who came into our church through a health program sat next to me one day, and she said, "You know, doctor, I think I need to be baptized." And I asked her, "Why? Why would you be baptized? You've been with us for 6 months coming to Sabbath school, but you don't even know the doctrines." And she says, "Dr. Torquato, the way you people have loved me, I know that it can't be wrong. So I will learn about my new church, and then I will be baptized." She did learn about her new church. She was baptized and immediately wanted to go to work in the medical ministry. And in her words, to bring to others the work that brought her to Christ, she wanted to do the exact same work for others. She did that. She died this last year. But she died a believer in Jesus Christ. In 1 year, she went that whole route of going from an unbeliever, unchurched, to somebody who was not only a Seventh-day Adventist, but a Seventh-day Adventist missionary, and a Seventh-day Adventist missionary who died in the gospel. Amen. This is the kind of thing that happens with the likes of these people. We need more like them. You see, these people come sacrificially and in love. They have no opportunity to gain from anything that they're devoting themselves to except souls in the kingdom. That is what we need. A culture of people throughout our entire church, all these different ministries, we need that kind of culture in order to be able to finish this work. And if that is an interest of yours and you'd like to hear more about it, come to the booth that is in the hall, and there's about, I think, 5 or 6, 7 ministries there. And come talk to us, and we'll have the opportunity. What's that? Oh, the website, totalhealthspokane.com, if you're interested in looking into our program, totalhealthspokane.com.
I'd like to invite you to, on this aisle, or down these chairs on the aisle there, there's a brochure and there's a card. Would like to invite you to just pass those down the rows, and each one of you take one, if you would. And the website is on that, on the back side there. There's also an email address. It's called amedicalministry@gmail.com. It's full of all kinds of study material that would be very helpful to you. And I would like to invite you to take this little response sheet and fill it out and hand it to one of the team members before you leave here today. In fact, I'm going to ask some of the team members to be in the back, if you could be back there to pick those up. I had the privilege just a couple of weeks ago to baptize a lady that we've been working with for at least 6 years.
Wow.
This is a lady that is probably the most damaged human being that I have ever witnessed. And to witness her slowly opening her heart to the gospel.
Amen.
Slowly opening her life. And she took her stand. She's the only Seventh-day Adventist in her entire family. Mm. Her husband is very much against her. Mm. Yet, because of the support, the love, and the encouragement of the church and the ministry of Total Health Spokane, she was willing and able to take that stand.
Amen.
For Jesus.
Amen.
And so we want to invite you to be part of this ministry.
Amen.
One other thing that was not mentioned that I wanted to mention also is that what we're doing is a 4-month cycle of evangelism. Mm. Every 4 months, we repeat it. So we not only have health classes, we not only go into the homes, but we have evangelism taking place every week.
Amen.
So we're connecting the people to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To the Word of God.
Amen.
And to the message that He has given to us.
Amen.
For this day.
Amen.
For our world today.
Amen.
And it was mentioned earlier, it was read earlier, when the cities are worked, when what is worked?
The cities.
when the cities are worked. And then there's a qualification. Do you know what that is? As God what? As God would have them. In other words, using God's plan, using God's methods. When the cities are worked as God would have them, there would be setting in motion a mighty movement.
Amen.
Such as never yet been witnessed.
Amen.
How many want to be part of that movement? Let me see your hands.
Amen.
That movement is none other than the latter rain of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Preach it.
And that has to take place before Jesus comes.
Amen.
Do you want Jesus to come?
Yes.
Praise God.
I invite you, take a stand, get involved, do the work that God is calling you to do.
Thank you, Pastor Wayne, and thank you to each of the presenters. In our remaining few moments, any questions from the audience? If you have a question, please stand and say it, and then we'll repeat it, and then so go ahead. Yeah, Upper Columbia Conference.
I'm from Southern California Conference.
Okay, JR is from Southern California Conference. And if we were to approach our conference
about this,
how would we go about that? Okay, so Pastor Ted Huskins, you, Executive Secretary of Northern England Conference, what advice would you have for this young person?
That's an excellent question. What you need to do is you need to schedule an appointment, first of all, probably with the evangelism director of your conference or with conference administration, your president, one of your executive secretaries or vice presidents for the Southern California Conference, and just share with them in a nutshell what your passion and your heart is. I think every conference is looking for people who are committed to making a difference. Certainly Northern New England, Pennsylvania, and Upper Columbia aren't the only conferences that have needs for young people, and we're not here to pretend that that's the case. So I would go to your local conference and tell them you want to be a missionary, you want to get involved, and this is where you feel like God is leading you.
Amen.
And, you know, they will help you, they'll counsel with you and help you take it from there.
I know from the division, since I work directly with the divisions from the GC, North America Division has a church planting initiative called Plant 1000. And so that's something right now that you can talk to your local leadership at the conference and at the union level to say, how can we be a part of this church planting movement? And that you've heard from three conferences. GYC only limited, because I had three other conferences, but GYC limited me today or this year only to three. So that's why Upper Columbia, Pennsylvania, and Northern New England Conference. Any other questions? Excellent question. Did that answer your question? Okay, perfect. Next question.
I'm Dr. Carol Richardson. I'm Dr. Carol Richardson, and I was at Spokane, and I saw what you guys did. We had the Spokane Health Day. And I there. My situation is I'm now in Mississippi as a physician. The situation is quite different. African American, sicker, Mississippi, sicker than the sickest. Okay? I'm in practice now, OBGYN. Working with getting ready to do something like this. My issue is, it's not secular. It is very deeply spiritual. So Bible Belt. I go to Sunday churches. I'm at a 3,000 member Sunday church right now. I have a meeting with the pastor on when I go back to do health evangelism. I don't tell them I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Once you say Seventh-day Adventist, our reputation in the community is horrible. They close up. And we have to deal with that. So I need, Caucasians, wonderful. But in our area, in Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, we need this same thing what we're doing in the city, but we need it among our own.
Amen. Thank you, Doctor, for making that call. I know that I was so thrilled by GYC's leadership's adjustment in their strategy. Formation. That's where I, at least during this seminar, we heard from three frontline entities who are appealing for you as young adults. to engage in this urban mission. Our time is up. Please check us out at the booth to learn more. But as we dismiss, let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time where we had a chance to hear your call to the cities. And so I just ask that your Spirit will move on those hearts as they heard these thrilling opportunities and more, that you will move on each one so that way they can take action and be faithful to your call to enter into your joy of soul winning and here at the last days to then make disciples as we meet needs through centers of influence and plant new groups of believers. This is my prayer in Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
This message was recorded at the GYC 2017 Conference Arise in Phoenix, Arizona. GYC, a supporting ministry of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, seeks to inspire young people to be Bible-based, Christ-centered, and soul-winning Christians. To download or purchase other resources like this, visit us online at www.gycweb.org.